Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you got to do is place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code 2400 to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. And the best part, take that $150 in free bets. There's big games every weekend, ones you'll have big opinions on, and you can get on your way. Play your way. Bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You name it, FanDuel's got more markets than anybody. You can even combine your bets for a chance of a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code 2400. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Well, hello again there, Pats people, and we welcome you to the latest and always greatest edition of the Six Rings and Football Things broadcast and podcast brought to you by WEEI, WEEI.com, and Odyssey Sports. You got your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens, Jumbo Hart, and Chris Primetime Shime Time here. And gentlemen, I'm going to cut right to it. We got us a messy football situation. We got us a season that may spiral out of control, and we got us one injured starting quarterback. What we had on Sunday, which Andy and I detailed in the Six Rings postgame show, was a game that had juice, a game that had life, a game that had real rivalrous energy. Until all of a sudden, come the fourth quarter, it fell apart. It spiraled out of control. It got messy. Mistakes were made. And ultimately, worst case scenario alert, your starting quarterback got hurt. Real hurt. Hopefully not season-ending hurt, as all of us thought when we saw the photos of him being carried off as if he had just survived a shark attack. Turns out Mac Jones, as we are led to believe, has a high ankle sprain and could miss. We don't know. See, that's where we are. So, Andy, you're coming fresh off the air. Hold on. You're coming fresh off of having talked to the Pats Populi, filling in for Rich Keefe this week on the Gresh and Keefe program. What is the mood and where do you think Pats fans are? And what's the latest on the old McCankle?
Well, first of all, I want to praise myself, because all I think the first place you heard
is this John Elway. Like, I'd like to start this press conference off by thanking John Elway.
Yep. My ankle sprain was my prediction on the Six Rings postgame show, and my prediction has come true. The only question is now, is it a high ankle sprain that needs surgery? Apparently something called a tightrope surgery, which
hard pass, by the way. I understand it's fixed a lot of ankles at Alabama, but I don't need anybody putting in surgical grade rubber bands and a screw into my ankle forever just so I can get out there two games quicker and help the Patriots go 7-10. Hard pass.
It seems like that's where Mac is getting a second opinion in New York with the doctor who's the team doctor for the Nets, Brooklyn Nets, who did Kevin Durant's Achilles surgery. He did, I believe, J.C. Jackson's ankle surgery this offseason with the Chargers. So he's getting that sort of second expert opinion on the area. In terms of the masses and where they are, I'm sort of intrigued by the different reactions. Obviously there's the negative reaction. Like, your quarterback's hurt, he could miss. Tom Curran speculated today 2 to 8 weeks is the window. You know, 2 would be best case scenario. Worst case scenario would be 2 months. That's kind of a large window. I joked, like, that's the weatherman saying we could get 2 to 8 inches tomorrow. Well, 2 inches I can dust off. 8 inches, we're going to have chaos and a mess on the roads. We'll see where it goes. But I've been also surprised by some people presuming that Brian Hoyer is going to be the guy to start in Green Bay and for the foreseeable future, saying that Brian Hoyer is not a great drop-off, like the offense won't fall off the map. And I'm like, well, then you must not think much of Mac. If it's not much of a drop-off, that to me is a little bit of an indictment in your second-year quarterback, because there should be a significant drop-off from the number 15 pick a year ago in the draft, who was a rookie, who made the Pro Bowl, who led you to the playoffs, to Brian Hoyer, the career journeyman who's got a losing record in the NFL as a starter. So I think people are still trying to figure it out. And I have been personally, the thing, listening to Mac talk, you know, the idea that he's day-to-day, he isn't. He's week-to-week at best.
At best. And by the way, great presser on Monday. I mean, I hated it. I'm a bigger Mac Jones fan than anyone here in this triumvirate on this podcast, maybe than at the station. I'm a believer that he can be the long-term answer. Yeah. You made a beer, you named it after him, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to punch my computer when he did the whole Mark Daniels and Mike Reese replies. Were like, hey, I just wanted to know, you know, how it felt, or, you know, what your immediate reaction was after you hurt your ankle. And he went, awesome, thanks. Like, everything the Patriots make these people do, like your little mind games and the whole, like, oh, we're going to be paranoid and coy and we're going to make sure we don't give you the upper hand. Guess what? The rest of the league is full well aware that the Patriots are a just above 500 team on their best days sometimes, and they can't afford to play these games and be cute. This is so obnoxious.
I tweeted about this and somebody was like, well, that's just the script Belichick gave him. And I go, that doesn't mean I don't hate it. I can fully be aware of that, fully accept that, and still absolutely hate it. It's so dumb. Like, what are we doing? Stop being like, we know you're hurt. Who cares? Like, it's not, I'm not asking you to tell me the severity of the injury. I'm not asking you to tell me what the doctor says. I just want to know how you feel.
I don't want to see it on a webcam, Shime. I don't need to see how black and blue it is.
Yeah, I don't need to see Aaron Rodgers' COVID toe. I don't need to see your ankle. COVID. I just want talk to us. Like, you don't need to be a robot about it.
You also don't have to be a dink. And the awesome thanks was being a complete dink. And you also have the ability to be a human being. And
bingo.
I know there's this idea that he's fearful and it's the script and it's Belichick. But guess what? You're the franchise quarterback. You can say what you want. He is tied to you. He cannot bench you. He will not trade you. You have some leeway that the guy.
Sure? Are you sure? Honestly, Andy, are you sure that he would not do a spite benching?
Absolutely sure. He can do what he wants. He's the number 15 pick in the draft. He took you to the playoffs a year ago. I know he's not surefire, a 15-year Hall of Fame quarterback, but Belichick can't bench him. And if we want to talk about Robert Kraft stepping in for Kendrick Bourne not playing, wait till he tries to bench Mac and Robert Kraft says why. And Bill goes, well, he didn't do what I told him to do in the press conference. I think Robert might fire Bill on the spot.
Like, I think Mac needs to go talk to a guy like Devin McCourty for 5 minutes, because we have Devin on the morning show every Friday, and he is a Patriot through and through. He's not going to say anything he shouldn't say, but at the same time, he laughs, he has fun, he has a personality. Was he the one that also said, we'll ride with our guy Axel, and call Brian Hoyer Axel?
That was Slater. Devin?
Slater.
That. Yeah, but also, Sean,
like another showing of personality and fun. And, like,
look at who you're talking about.
Should be doing.
Look who you're talking about. You're talking about two players that Bill Belichick specifically kept around, two legacy Patriot Way guys who have won multiple Super Bowls, who Bill Belichick would probably trust his life or his family's life with, let alone on-field play with the Patriots. He's kept them around to be de facto coaches and mentors for a team that is made up of 1/5 rookies at this point. So obviously they have earned the right to be able to vamp, improvise, be extemporaneous, or go off script. Andy, the fact that Mac Jones continues to just sort of like play into the Bill Burge Patriot way script and just be like, yeah, you have to ask Coach Belichick about that. Awesome. Thanks. You know, I appreciate, you know, whatever. Sorry if I ruined your party by not telling you about my ankle. Like, what? Like, and then I see the Twitter replies. Yeah. And this is an Andy Hart that we need a sponsor for, you know, you people, Andy's favorite segment where he yells at Pats fans on behalf of me or through me. But I saw all the replies to different Patriots beat reporters posting or commenting on that exchange. And all these fans were like, typical Boston media knows that they're going to like expects a different answer. Or like, what kind of question is that? What kind of answer do you think you were going to get? They're doing their job. It right. is their job to ask questions and try to find out how the players are doing so they can write stories, cover the team, make them interested, engage fans. Don't clap back at the media. Try actually and work in tandem with them so that maybe, God forbid, we can help tell a story.
Why do I have to accept that Mac Jones is doing his job as Bill Belichick's employee, but Mac Jones doesn't have to accept that I'm doing my job as a reporter for my media
outlet?
Can it be a 100%. Two-way street? And Matthew Slater, Devin McCourty, there's been a long list of guys that have come through that they didn't start answering questions in a human way at year 8, 10, or 12. They answered questions in a human way in years 1, 2, and 3. Gerard Mayo, who's now actually a coach on the roster, did it. It can be done, and I think Mac is either incapable or choosing not to, but that's a different rant for a different day. That's the media side of things. The interesting aspect here that I think some people are bringing up is there a Rob Gronkowski-esque divide in terms of how to handle the injury? Mm-hmm. Is surgery the team's suggestion? Our friend Mike Giardi had a team source say something, and I'm paraphrasing here, hard to imagine he can avoid surgery. So like the team, it sounds like, is accepting surgery is what you need to do here.
Or pushing for it.
Whereas, yeah, and I don't, pushing for it might be a little strong. That's why I wanted to say accepting, not pushing, not doing something that isn't okay or isn't in the best interest of everybody involved. But the flip side of that is I thought Mac in both interviews, both in the media Zoom, and he did his weekly appearance on the Merlone, Fourier, and Mego show here on WEEI, I thought he gave some subtle indications that he prefers the treatment, see how it feels, wait it out, swelling, which, yeah, maybe that takes a little bit longer. I thought he kind of gave indications that's what he wanted to do. My concern isn't actually that, if that works. It's what if you do that for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and then still have to go under the knife because you realize that was actually the best case scenario starting, and now you've wasted a 3 week window.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody would probably prefer to go triple R, rest, recoup, recovery, or RICE, as they say with those ankle injuries, rest, ice, compression, elevation. But this is not a high school ankle sprain. And I know we find few things more cloying than whenever we're on the radio and someone calls in and goes, hey, listen, you know, I tore my meniscus once when I was playing hockey in Hingham in a rec league. I can tell you, having suffered a high ankle sprain, it hurts like all holy hell. Wrecked me for a summer. And of course, here I am, no elite athlete. I had nobody giving me any. I actually did go to therapy for months. It was awful. And there's still like my right ankle is still dinged up from it 25 years later. Like I can understand why he was screaming, Andy. I can understand why he would also want to avoid the surgery because having just had surgery last year on one of my legs, surgery sucks.
Oh yeah.
You don't ever surgery is still surgery. Don't ever elect to have surgery. There's no such thing as minor or light surgery. You either have surgery. It's just a matter of how invasive it is or how long it lasts, but there's surgery and then there's not surgery.
I would
and
also
that's
tell
all
him
there is to it.
If he doesn't want surgery, go into a new line of work. You play in the National Football League where surgery is essentially part of the business. Cost of
yeah.
It's the reality.
No, like, I understand. Reality. There are certain things you will like. Sports hernias, we'll say, like the McNabbs and the Bradys and so many hundreds of others have had to have it. I understand. Yes,
And I think, too, Andy, you mentioned that there could be this possible divide. I don't think there should be. Like, I think the Patriots should be fine with whatever direction Mac wants to go, and he should take as much effing time as he needs. If this is your guy for the long term, Don't rush him back. This season is Brian Hoyer is going to have to start at minimum, even if he gets like that. I know the Doc Flynn lady on like Twitter and stuff was talking about the surgery that has guys back insanely fast.
I was just listening to a podcast she appeared on about that surgery, Shime.
Even if he comes back in, what is that? I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks. Like you, there's a chance you're 0-3 after those 3 weeks or coming into the fourth week where he comes back. And now you're what? 1-5. Mm-hmm. So the season is almost kind of washed anyways. You need to take care of what you believe is your most important asset, which is your young, up-and-coming quarterback. If you believe he's your guy, don't rush him. If he doesn't come back until after the bye week, which is 7 weeks from now, fine. Who cares? Don't rush it.
I too am a proponent of not rushing him back. I think, you know, this is, you know, we're not playing the my body, my choice game here, but at the same time, like, this is his ankle. It doesn't technically, he's an employee of the team, but his body is his choice and he does not belong physically to the Patriots. They shouldn't be able to deliver some sort of wartime edict saying like, you have to be back in 4 weeks time. They can make their recommendations, but yes, he can also see the secondary surgeon or doctor like he is today in New York via the Giardi tweet. I don't want this to expose bigger issues with the Patriots or create a rift between player and team the same way like Andy famously 6 years ago, there was the Garoppolo situation when his shoulder gets dinged up on the Kiko Alonso sack. They want him to come back. He doesn't. He preserves himself. They lose that game with Brissett. Ultimately, they win the Super Bowl in comeback capacity and the greatest one of all time. But that would be a disaster if all of a sudden this causes animus between team and quarterback. Before we get into what the team's long-term prospects may be in the 2022 season with Mac Jones, Brian Hoyer et al., let's all just give a quick grade for the effort Mac Jones put forth against the Ravens on Sunday and say what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, because we may not see him for a little while. But I think he was building on something. He was 6 of 9 on the deep throws for over 170 yards, obviously established a nice connection with Devontae Parker, made some really nice tight window throws, showed some good arm strength and decision-making, also was scooting and moving, a couple of nice moves by Mac to get some first downs as well. But then again, there were some bad passes as well. Some suspect judgment was shown, and thus maybe the Pandora's box of, was it Mac, is it the play calling, or is it a combination therein, gets opened up again.
I'll go first then, I guess. I would give him like a B-. I thought his decision-making was quite possibly one of the worst decision-making games he's had ever in the NFL. Like, it was just, there were a handful of bad decisions. And were they all his fart? Were they all his fault? Like the Devontae Parker interception, like that interception in the end zone? Not necessarily, but at the same time, don't throw the damn football inside the 5 to a guy who doesn't know the play. Like, he raises his palms before you snap the ball because he doesn't know what route he's running. Don't throw the ball to the corner where you think he should be if he doesn't know the play. Like, that's – and on a fourth down, don't throw to a guy that isn't at the sticks. Like, it's like it, there's just
– there. That's so the play many, call. And again –
But like at Andy, the same time, you don't have to target Jimmy, that guy, Fitzy.
I know you don't, but that's probably the first read. Now, maybe he should then check out second. Of that. Okay, at the same time, but what is he supposed to do when Bill Belichick is answering questions about little Jordan Humphrey playing 54 snaps, mostly so they could use him as an auxiliary blocker or de facto second or third tight end, and Kendrick Bourne, who had 4 catches on 4 targets, is only in for 18. So I see what you're saying, Shime, but I still lean towards the play calling more than
Mac Jones. I understand. I don't love the play calling either, but I'm just saying, like, Mac Jones made a lot of bad decisions. I understand that he wasn't put in a lot of the best case scenarios, but in the scenarios he was in, he did not make great decisions.
I would go C. And Fitzy, you know, wow. This. We watched the game. For a portion of that game, Mac Jones was going to be on my thumbs up because I thought he was throwing the ball well, making some good throws. You know, the toe tapper to Devontae Parker down the left side was one of his best throws, if not the best throw of the year. For him, and then the bottom kind of fell out, and I actually am not sure. I think it's as bad a decision on a lot of them. I think he's making bad throws, flat out bad physical throws of the football, and people will point to the three interceptions. I'd prefer to point to the two throws to Devontae Parker on corner routes that I thought were bad throws. Devontae Parker could have been 8 for 8 or whatever it was, 7 for 7 at one point for like 200 yards and a touchdown. And Mac made bad throws. He floated one of them. He didn't have enough zip on one of them. They were just bad throws. And then the short interception to Josh Burns, I think his name was such a bad throw to Parker that if Burns doesn't catch it, I think it hits Parker in like the toes maybe. It wasn't even headed toward Parker making, you know, a normal catch. He would have had to make a great low catch. So for a guy who is supposed to be accurate with the football, like that's his strength, doesn't have a cannon, but he's going to put the ball in the right spot. I don't think he threw the ball on totality all that well. Some of them were great. Some good throws to Parker, like the one on the sideline. Again, good throws. But if you're a guy that lives off accuracy, then I need you to make good throws almost all the time. Like you're an NFL starting quarterback. I expect you to do it 80, 90% of the time. I don't think his percentage of good throws was high enough. And then you mix in some decisions, the turnovers, and he's not going to make his money running the football, scrambling. We've seen that too much. I've told you guys that. Starting
he's had to
July.
Do it far more, though, Andy, I think, than we thought that he would, because nobody came
in July. I saw him doing it, so I knew he was going to. Right. I watched every practice, so I saw this offense, and this offense led to Mac scrambling almost every effing day way too often. So I'm sick of seeing him actually run the football. I don't want to see him gritty in the end zone. I want to see him hit easy, open throws and an efficient passing attack, accurate throws. I'm not seeing that enough. So there was some good in that game from Mac, no question. But it ended bad, and it wasn't just the injury.
Matt Patricia said that they looked at some Alabama game tape from his fantastic final season, his one full season as a starter when they won the national championship, and they saw that he went downfield more often than they initially believed or remembered, so they wanted to start incorporating that into the game this year. It seems like they kind of got into it probably game plan-wise because we knew Baltimore had a lousy secondary heading into the game. And maybe some better throws, some checkdowns or different looks would have led to more points, more production, fewer interceptions. Yeah, there were some suspect throws. Yeah, there were a couple of bad decisions. I still think the play calling needs a ton of work. And if we're being honest, receivers, I have no quibble with them, no quorum with the running backs as well. The defense, you hate to see when the Patriots have fundamental breakdowns. And I'm sure right now, as we speak, game tape is being watched. Whistles are being blown, drills are being run, because over the next several weeks, if there's one thing that's going to win them, if not several football games, it's not going to be the aerial assault brought forth by Hoyer the Destroyer. It's going to be the defense and maybe Bill Belichick coaching and scheming his ass off, making the most Belichick football of all. We thank you guys for listening to the Bill Belichick Fan Club. That is Primetime Shine Time's Mac Jones Appreciation Society, also known as the Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Give us a follow at Six Rings Pod. And of course, Six Rings Pod, that's the number 6@gmail.com. If you'd ever like to have a question answered to in a pod, or especially our new upcoming mailbag pod each and every week. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about the bottom line. And that bottom line is one 13-year NFL veteran, Axel Brian Hoyer. Hoyer the Destroyer. Hoyer the Destroyer. I ask you this, Andy Hart, a man who has lost his last 11 starts, who is 1-13 in his last 14 starts, and has a losing career record. Nice guy as he may be. De facto quarterback coach / assistant offensive coordinator / specialist / guru on the sidelines. He has a decent arm, a strong working knowledge of multiple systems and schemes because he played for 6 NFL teams. Do you think there is any way, shape, or form Brian Hoyer, whether he starts 4, 5, 6 games, could possibly, I mean, and enough to everybody who thinks they're going to start Bailey Zappi, just knock it off. Do you think there's any way Brian Hoyer can keep them maybe not above water, but at 500 long enough for Mac to come back?
Highly unlikely. I never rule anything out. I've just seen too much craziness in the NFL and the Patriots and Belichick over the years. But the reality is, I will say, though, what is the one thing we know about Brian Hoyer for a fact? He's due for a win. He is overdue for a win.
See, that's not a fact. The one thing that we can say with much uncertainty that is largely based in luck and opinion is that he's overdue. Now you sound like my dad at the craps table, Nico.
It's got,
I am due for a hot dice.
Flipping the coin, sooner or later, it's going to, you know, get me what I want. But it's highly unlikely. You know, it's interesting because I keep using Bill's words sort of for and against Hoyer. So Bill was asked on the Greg Hill Morning Show with our friend Scheim there about Brian Hoyer. And he said, we have confidence in all our players. That's why they're on the roster. Fair enough, Bill. I understand that. Great. Bill, using that logic, I would return serve on you and say, there's also a reason he's your backup quarterback. You don't think he's that good. Like, he's not good enough to start games. Hence, he's a backup quarterback. You're going to have to use him to start games for 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is. And his record is what it is in the NFL. It's not a winner. And correct me if I'm wrong, this offense already had a lot of effing questions surrounding play calling, personnel, identity, like all these various issues. And now you're throwing a backup quarterback in the mix who, oh, by the way, everybody who likes to say, yeah, but he knows the system. Who's got more experience in the system than him? Well, what's the system? I thought we had a new system. I thought it was brand new. Right. So he doesn't have.
We're all learning it's not a new system.
Well, see, I don't know. We're told. They call it new. So, well,
and so Jason Garrett said that he talked to Belichick in the offseason, and this is now the Mac Jones offense, no longer the Tom Brady offense of old.
Right. So if we had Brian Hoyer stepping in Las Vegas for Carr, maybe you could say no one knows this system better than Brian Hoyer. But in New England, if we're to take them at their word that the scheme is new, it's streamlined, it's different, philosophy is different, we go for 50-50 balls down the field, we do these things differently, he's learned that over the last 8 months, just like everybody else in the system.
Can I give a hot take?
Well, far be it from you to ever want to give a hot take on this program.
True. The Patriots would be better suited to start Bailey Zappi on Sunday. I think they would get a better performance from the quarterback position if they started Bailey Zappi, specifically because Brian Hoyer's on this roster to basically be a de facto coach. He's a mentor for Mac Jones on being a quarterback. It's not even the system. It's not like learning plays. Mac Jones is capable of doing that. It's understanding the quarterback position and all the things that come with it. And being there on the sideline with them, looking at the tape, looking at the pictures, like, hey, look at this, look at that. Instead of it having to be Joe Judge. Brian Hoyer was never supposed to start a game. And when it comes to talent on the football field and actually playing the position of quarterback, the Patriots would be better suited Sunday against the Green Bay Packers to start Bailey Zappi over Brian Hoyer. But they'll never do that because Belichick will never put Bailey Zappi out there to the Wolves.
Okay. I don't think I can technically order a wellness check to your house right now. I understand what you're saying.
Look, and I don't think it's right either way.
Right. It's not an optimal scenario. And of course, he doesn't want Brian Hoyer to have to start a game because he already has a starting quarterback. And that starting quarterback needs more game reps and needs more experience
exactly.
to get better for the future that we all hope is bright and sunny in Foxborough. And right now is covered in storm clouds that have yet to bring forth the rain, pain, and thunder that they may soon do. You want to see a quarterback throw the ball less than Mac Jones did against Buffalo in the windstorm of November 2021? Put Bailey Zappi in Sunday in Green Bay.
Stupid, though.
They would never let him. They would never just be like, get in there, kid, and sling it.
Here's the thing, though. If you are going in, chips are down. Like, nobody on the planet thinks you have a shot at winning. Brian Hoyer is not going to even give you a chance. Why not let the kid who broke FBS records at just slinging the rock come in and sling the rock a little bit? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? He stinks and you go to Hoyer anyways?
You're never going to go to Hoyer once you go to Zappi. You either stick with Zappi, and that's that until the kid gets broken in half.
Let the kid sling the rock a little
like
bit.
Like a table at a Buffalo tailgate.
What's the worst that's going to happen? Like,
the worst that's
going to
happen is you lose every game. You lose every game. I don't think they're going to lose every game with Brian Hoyer.
At this point, you're not making the playoffs anyways. Like, at least try. Because you know what? The upside that could be Bailey Zappi would be higher than anything Brian Hoyer could.
So basically what you're saying right now is punt on the season, see what you have in the kid.
I said, no, my thing is take a chance. Is it a small, very minute sliver of a chance? Sure as hell is. But it's better than literally folding your season with Brian Hoyer.
Okay, Andy, I think the reason why Brian Hoyer goes in, there's a good point on you talking about the system being new in that, you know, if it was in Las Vegas where Stidham would potentially start, and it has been anything but wine and roses out in Las Vegas with Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels in his second head coaching stint. They're sitting at 0-3 right now. Stidham starting out there, Brian Hoyer starting out there, they both know that system. This system is new. Okay. But I think what Belichick believes, and so does Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, whomever, is that he's got the experience and they will trust his judgment, because Bailey Zappi just hasn't seen. He was an FB, he was a Division II quarterback.
Brian Hoyer turned the ball over three times the last time he started a football
game. I know he did. I don't think he would ever play as poorly as he did in the kid. Dude, they flew out there that day. They had no idea what was going on. You can't play worse than he did that day in Kansas City.
Want to bet?
Yeah,
I do. Like, I just wait. Play worse. Like, I see. Okay, I'll go back to the summer. I know for a fact there were days I said that Bailey Zappi ran the offense the best of the three quarterbacks in his limited reps on the practice field. He didn't scramble as much. He would hit his back foot. He would make some throws. He is a slinger. He's not afraid to throw the football. I think we saw that in the preseason. He can make plays. He'll give some plays up. There would definitely be a roller coaster of playmaking if Bailey Zappi played. But I don't think it would necessarily be the wheels falling off if he played based on what I saw in the summer. Maybe it would be. Maybe it would be that Peterman guy who threw like five picks and a half or whatever the hell he did in Buffalo.
Nathan Peterman.
But, you know, there were times this summer where Zappi looked capable. He looked capable of running the offense and making the throws. He has no fear. I can tell you that. Dude's going to sling it. Dude's going to throw it. Trust his arm too much. Trust his reads too much. And that would get him in trouble at times over a four-week span, a six-week span. There would be some interceptions and plays for the other team. But I don't think it's the most ridiculous thing in the world to suggest that he could play, because the bottom line is you lost your starting quarterback. Like, that was a major drop-off. That's the big story, kind of, whether Hoyer or Zappi. Like, it should be Hoyer for one reason for me. That's why you have him here. Like, you paid him. Like, give him his shot, I guess. Like, and I think that's fair to him. Like, you were right, Shime. I think there's aspects of his role that are simply mentor, QB coach, that whole thing. But I think he deserves the shot if he wants to still at this point in his career. Like, okay, the quarterback went down. You're listed as the backup. You now start the game. Like, maybe this is your chance to end your career, literally end your career with a victory. And, like, get off the schneid, as Chris Berman would say. So, but if he stinks, which I think he could, like, no disrespect to him. He's a journeyman backup quarterback. You know, there's also that thing. Where was he drafted? Not in the fourth round.
Like, the sixth round out of Michigan State.
Just entering the league, the idea is Bailey Zappi's a better talent. The Patriots decided that. They used a higher commodity on him to bring him into the league. Doesn't mean he's ready. Doesn't mean he actually is better, right? Doesn't mean he's going to have a decade-plus career as a backup or anything like that. I'm just saying, entering the league, the perception was he was a better prospect. That's how he got drafted earlier. So, but I would go back to the simple, you're in trouble. Like, you're, anytime a team goes in, I know Cooper Rush has three wins as a backup. That's great. That's unlikely. Like, when you start these guys,
that offense is there. You know what the funny thing is, Andy, having watched the Giants Dallas game on Monday night and watching a lot of Cowboys since they're a national team, they're actually playing the kind of football their team is built to play now with Cooper Rush in there. There is no quarterback controversy in there. And maybe they'll be able to, at least I don't believe, but maybe
Jerry Dak brought it up. Wouldn't it be great if we had a decision to make?
I know he did as well. And Mike McCarthy, old Hamburger Charlie, laughed it off.
Oh, good.
Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore can learn a lot from what's gone on, because I think they're actually playing the style of football their team is built to play now. I think they're actually going to do okay as well. Wild card team, probably, like back when we had our prediction podcast. If Bill Belichick, okay, every decision begins and ends with Coach Belichick, GM, de facto, Lord Emperor, everything, right?
Just ask.
Then now, yeah, just as it was drawn up, right? Just a nice light workload. Do your job. I have 15, but everyone else just do your one job. Oh, Patricia, you have three as well. If this is the way he wants to run things, then there is no game where the Patriots need a bigger Bill Belichick handprint all over everything than this Sunday when they are 10.5-point underdogs at 4:25 p.m. at Lambeau Field against a Green Bay Packers team that, let's be honest, and we'll get into our Packers preview in a couple of days, but that's not a perfect Packers squad. They're not going up against the, you know, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, prime Aaron Rodgers, mid 2010s offense, Green Bay Packers with, they have a good defense, but I don't think it's like they're going to be up 17-0 coming right out of the tunnel as well. Like, if you get Bill Belichick to find a way to keep them in check long enough, maybe you catch a 50-50 ball or two. Maybe you get a couple of runs out of them, and maybe you at least keep it close.
Yeah, I think there's a chance they can keep it close. Like, I've already said, actually, my lead this morning on the Greg Hill Show was Vegas is giving you 10.5 points as a New England Patriots. As a bettor, I want to take that 10.5 points. Like, I think the defense will have positive regression from last week in that Bill Belichick will not allow them to be as sloppy against Aaron Rodgers as they were against Lamar Jackson. It's just not going to happen. I don't think he would ever allow that within himself, being the defensive coach that he is. So, A, I think the defense is better next week. And so if that's the case, I think it's very similar to what you saw in that Green Bay-Tampa Bay game, right, where it's just this slog. It's like it's like 9-6 at halftime or something, or 9-3 or 10-6 or whatever. And it ends up being 14-12 as the final score. Like, I think that is very, very plausible. I don't expect this game to get into the 20s. I don't expect the Packers to pop off. Their offense is not all that great right now. It's literally just the two running backs and then sprinkling a little Romeo Doubs. I think the Patriots will keep this close. This game will look competitive, but I don't see an opportunity for them to win necessarily.
You give them a chance to keep it close, Andy?
Oh, I always give Bill Belichick a chance to keep it close. The one thing I will say is, looking back to last week, they didn't meet the challenge of a special talent at the quarterback position and Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I told you this, Fitzy, I think the Patriots were always losing that game. I think Lamar was plus one-ing you. Whatever you did, he was going to one-up you till the final whistle to get the win. And wherever the score needed to go, his playmaking needed to go. Very different challenge this week, but you're still going up against a special talent in Aaron Rodgers. He has the MVPs to show you that. He's not going to run. Mm-hmm. He can keep plays alive, though. He's a much more accurate passer. He's generally not loose with the football. So to count on getting a couple, quote unquote, from him, not a great way to live. That's not a high success proposition to just count on him to throw you the football. Do they have questions about their weapons? And yes, certainly, 100%. But so do you. And another thing I'm keeping an eye on here, like, if we started the year on the Six Rings pod, and we may have even asked the question at some point, you know, guys you can't afford to lose, Mac would be atop the list. You're now losing him. I think we probably would have said Jacoby Myers. We probably would have said Kyle Duggar. And those are guys that are missing time right now, missing last week's game against the Ravens. I don't know what their health status will be moving forward, but this team is not talented enough or deep enough. Lawrence Guy didn't finish the game last week.
And that's when the running game, we talked about that in the postgame show. I think this was a sneaky hidden storyline from last week, that the run game started to fall apart when Lawrence Guy missed some time. Got dinged up. I think it was a shoulder injury. You got to hope that he's going to be able to gut it out there in Green Bay, because that's a whale of a 1-2 punch they bring at you with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. Plus David Bakhtiari, one of the best left tackles in all of football, is back
and healthy
and healthy and looking good and probably ready to slam a lot of beers in the name of a victory over Belichick and the Patriots. Look, we got a whole preview podcast coming up in just a couple days for Patriots Packers with special guests on the local scene, on the Packers beat, and much more. There was a lot of good that came out of Sunday's game. Then, unfortunately, there was also enough bad, if not plenty of bad. And now we're having to sift through it all, because it looks like there'll at least be a backup quarterback starting on Sunday with potentially some other injuries to deal with. Look, Pat, no doubt, I'm not going to say the Pats. What would you say? I'll add the final question. I'll say the Pats are in hot water right now. Would you say, if I ask the question, the Pats are in blank right now, how would you finish it?
Like classic panic meter kind of?
Yeah. Like, would you say the Pats are in turmoil, in trouble, in deep shit? What would you say?
Yeah, they're, I'd say in trouble. Like, I don't think they're, like, it's not like a 10 on the panic meter by any means, but you're right in that, like, 7 range right now, because guys are just getting hurt left and right, especially your starting quarterback. You're not sure exactly the timetable for your quarterback either. So it could be 3 weeks. It could be six or seven. You're in this really weird spot. And if you continue to lose football games because you have to start Axel Bryan Hoyer, your season's done. You might as well just play for the top five pick, get Will Anderson, get a stud on your, get another stud on the defensive line and move forward.
I call that the Bengals plan of attack.
Bingo.
How they built their team.
Yep.
And we can get into that maybe in a minute, but I think you're porked. I wasn't going to pick the Patriots to beat the Packers with a healthy Mac Jones going to Green Bay. Like, I think you were falling to 1-3 with Mac Jones at quarterback. And now you have Bryan Hoyer at quarterback. And I'm supposed to believe there's not, again, if there's not a significant drop off, then the discussion shouldn't really be about this week, this game, or anything else. The discussion should be, why is there not a significant drop off from Mac Jones to Bryan Hoyer? So I think there is a drop off. I actually think one of the silver linings that will come out of this might be a little bit more appreciation for Mac Jones for people that were throwing barbs his way early in a difficult season with a new scheme, a new coordinator, bad coaching. I think you may see, oh yeah. Remember that Ravens game when he got hurt? He actually looked pretty good and he was making the most out of his opportunities. Maybe we shouldn't have been so hard on him because now it looks really bad with Bryan Hoyer executing Matt Patricia and Joe Judge's plays and scheme and all that. So I think an appreciation for Mac Jones might come out of this, but you're in trouble record-wise. If you think, I mean, I thought they were a 9-win team. So now what do I have to go? Let's say he misses, let's just use the number six games. Let's just put that out there, 2-8. So it's in the 5-6 average range. I got to go at least -2, right? From what I would have been with Mac Jones. Minus, he's going to be two games worse. Fitzy, what was it? 0 for his last 11?
Yep.
Bryan Hoyer?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I have to go at least -2 on the win total. So they went from a 9-8 team to a 7-10 team and maybe worse than that.
Yeah, so beating those games against the Lions Browns, where with Mac Jones, you're probably winning those games, become real toss-ups.
And so, listen, I'll say this as we wrap this segment up and get to a quick final segment here on the old Six Ringer. There is not a single game, if Bryan Hoyer comes in and plays at the Hoyerian levels that he has played at, the Hoisterian levels of recent year, there is not a single game the rest of the way that is a guaranteed dub or a shoe-in.
Even it's that not, Bears game where Justin Fields has only competed 23 balls this season.
Even the Jets games, even the Bears game, none of them are guaranteed dubs the rest of the way. So 100%. Don't miss a minute. And of course, as always, when you need up-to-the-minute analysis, news, info, and more, you check in with your guys at Six Rings. And Sunday, we'll find out on the post-game show with Fitzy and Hart if the Patriots were quarterbacked by Axel Throws or Axel Blows. You're welcome. And now we move on to the final segment of this week's pod. We're going to actually just sort of step away from the Patriots talk for a minute and just to have three guys who love football talk a little football thus far. I hit the guys up with a question before we started recording today, and I've been kind of wondering aloud online and more how people feel about the start of this NFL season. Gentlemen,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'll put it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're happy football is back. I understand. Football is family. And together we're going to end racism. We're going to strike K cancer and everything else the NFL wants you to do this fall.
Prejudice. We're taking it all down with a pig skin doing all the work.
And lots of marketing and virtue signaling up the wazoo. However, and lots of Bud Light and yes. Twins.
And Miller Lite.
And Miller Lite. And Coors Light, the official
and,
drink.
And gin.
And Liquid Death. And, of course, C4. And everyone else who will sponsor us. But I just wanted to ask, do you guys love this season so far? Because I have found the gameplay to be, and this will happen with a lot of change, but, you know, I love the fact that, let's say, Kansas City, you know, was the crazy offense that was always ultra dangerous with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and everything else. And now they've gone through a renovation by letting Tyreek Hill go to Miami, and they don't have the same sort of dangerous threat levels on their offense. I love Justin Herbert being dynamite and that offense being electric, but now he's hurt. The Raiders can't get out of their own way. Russ is cooked. The Bengals have been a mess in their first win of the season. Whoopee, champagne popper was against the Jets. Cleveland's better than I thought. The Patriots might sneaky stink, or at least they're in trouble because they're victims of their own decisions and now a Mac Jones injury. Tom Brady, in addition to having to throw to receivers worse than the 2019 or 2013 Patriots, may now be entering the, hey, why did I come into this room and can somebody pass me my reading glasses portion of his NFL career? The Rams kind of suck. Garoppolo stepped on the back line of the end zone last week. Like, what's going on? Like, and Miami is 3-0. What the hell? Yeah. I don't love this season so far.
See, I'm in the complete opposite boat of you. I think the season's awesome. I think the season is exactly what you want in the NFL. I think the NFL is happy with this because right now you have a parity across the league, right? Like it's you have what, two teams without a win, Houston and it's just Houston and the Raiders are the only winless teams in football, and the Raiders have lost all three games by one possession. They've been in every game, mm-hmm. and Houston has been in almost every game they've played. So it's like,
and you have two undefeated teams as well, Shine.
Yes, you have two undefeated teams in Miami and Philly, and so like, yeah, there's some blowouts. There's always going to be blowouts, but there's also these weird, exciting games, like these, like giant, all these Giants games. Like the Giants could have gone 3-0 if they beat the Cowboys last night. They'd be 3-0 right now, and the Giants aren't even all that good. But like the games they're playing in are close and exciting. And is it a little bit sloppy? Yeah, sure. Are some of these teams bad and will get worse over the course of the season? Definitely. Like teams like the Bears will not continue to be 2-1 for the rest of the season. Like that's just not going to happen. But I think there's still those exciting elements, but there's that also that element that any team can win on any given day. And I think that's one of the beauties of football is that it's like any given Sunday, any team can win. And right now you really actually have that. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a good football team.
Good.
Like the Detroit
that
Lions.
I like that.
The Detroit Lions are a good, fun, exciting football team. Like the Atlanta Falcons are like must watch TV because all they do is score points and give up points. It's a blast. I absolutely think that the NFL is having a great year this year. The stars aren't necessarily at the top, but I think the teams across the board are all just having a great season.
Andy, what would you say? And what do you think the average, like totally obsessed, constantly consuming NFL fan would have said before the season? If I said, what if I told you that it would be more fun to watch Lions at Falcons than Patriots at Packers by week 4?
GTF out of here would probably be the response, but right. I'm with Shime because it's September, and I'll be with Shime in early October. I know the NFL wants this. They love parity. They want 32 cities believing for as long as possible, interest, ratings, all of that. If this is the same product in late November and December, I hate it. Because yeah. I am a big believer. I want measuring sticks. I want people that look like they are great football teams as we head toward a postseason. If it is any given Sunday and it's a Sunday late in December heading into the playoffs, I do not like that. But for right now, I think, A, you're getting a byproduct of increased turnover in the NFL, quarterback play, like Trey Lance is out, Jimmy G, who didn't do anything all offseason, is in. Russell Wilson's in a new spot with a new coach. Like, it's not always going to be easy. And you're getting a lot of teams that I think are playing some sloppy football after teams don't prep the same way anymore. There's only 3 preseason games. They don't hit enough. They don't tackle enough. All of those types of things. But I think it's entertaining. I think it's exciting. If you haven't watched the Bills play, the Dolphins play, the Ravens play, like, some of these teams are doing some ridiculously fun things. And then you're getting your physical. That T Higgins catch last week.
Like, oh just my God, that catch was awesome.
The physicality that, like, the
How about the George Pickens athletes. Catch last Thursday? That was insane, yeah, right. too.
These athletes that the NFL fields, that on any given play, whether it's red zone or you're watching the game, you're just like, oh my God, football is so, or even the ends of some of these games that have, they've had so many games.
That Bills Dolphins ending.
Right. Coming down to the
wire. And also some of the fails too, the butt punt as well. Monday night, we were treated to it.
If I don't know what's happening, I like it. I like it early in the season. I like to be entertained. Now, by the end of the year, I really would prefer the Bengals look like the Bengals offense. And I would prefer the Rams look like the Rams offense. And they start to distance and consistency,
and Tom Brady becomes Tom Brady, and what could be his final season.
I don't give a rat's ass about Tom Brady.
I know you don't. I'm just sort of pointing to these tent marks. Look, I'll also say this. Yes, great catch by CD Lamb on Monday night. It was nice to see him wake up. Yeah, well, he had a great bad drop, but also an insanely good catch in the end zone.
The drop was worse than the catch was good.
I don't know. That was a pretty damn good catch. But
I pay him a lot of money as a first round pick to make those catches. That's why he's a professional. He's supposed
to be right, Coach
Hardo.
Should
have had two touchdowns instead of one.
But at the same time, like, here we are at a point now, and I agree with you. We'll see. We'll revisit this maybe in a couple of weeks in the final leg of another podcast. But like, I'll be Hack Hackerson and be like, New England Patriots, the first team to ever be featured on Scott Hansen's Dread Zone channel, where no one wants to watch them. And Scott Hansen is also putting out jokes on Twitter now saying, like, don't bother watching the Red Zone on Sunday. You can watch the Punt Zone, because all these games feature like teams punting 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times. Like, I also don't think it hasn't been a high quality of product this season. Like, some of these games have been absolute slogs. Philadelphia goes up 24-0. They hold on to win 24-8 against the Commandos. Ugh, boring. Sorry.
Yeah, but like, sure, but what do you expect in the first month of the NFL season? Like, that's how it almost always is. It's always sloppy at the beginning.
Do you watch Bengals Steelers?
Yeah, I did watch that. That was excellent. That was one of the more entertaining games
you'll ever watch. One of the most entertaining games you'll ever watch.
Even the Colts Texans game. The Texans stink, and that game was entertaining.
You don't wash your mouth out with soap. But then on top of that, maybe this is a product. Okay, do we think maybe this is a product, as you brought up, Andy? Do we think this is a product of the fact that there is such a shortened preseason and less hitting, and September basically turns into preseason that counts?
Absolutely. Between personnel turnover, injuries, like when quarterbacks don't play a lot, when guys don't tackle a lot, like I think the Patriots gave up that touchdown to Jaylen Waddle in week 1. Because of a lack of tackling and physicality between Juwan Bentley and Kyle Duggar in the preseason. Do I think they allow that touchdown in week 7 after they've been out there hitting, tackling, game speed, all of that? No, but you have to take that. That's the modern NFL. Like, you have to accept certain things in the NFL now, like roughing the passer. I'm probably going to disagree with some of those, like different penalties. I'm probably going to disagree. But to me, the upside entertainment is far outweighs any of the sloppiness or any of the, you know, is it bad? Is it competitive bad play? Competitive good play? I don't know. It's competitive. It's entertaining. And I watch it.
So Shine, let's end with this one. I want to ask you this question. Let's get you out there on the limb. Give me a team or two that a month from now we'll be talking about in a far different light positively. And a team or two you think a month from now we'll be talking about like, oh, I can't believe we ever bought into the blank.
Yeah, I still don't think people are talking about the Jaguars enough. Like, I know people, it's starting to catch on finally. I still don't think you're talking about them enough. I think what Doug Peterson has done in that system has just brought stability, and it's such a far cry from the absolute sham that was Urban Meyer that this team is actually good. Trevor Lawrence looks like he deserved to be the number one overall pick, and like, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones are actually playing up to their contract. Like, this team is, and that defense is legit. Like, this team is way better than people even realize yet. I think that would be my one. I think Atlanta too. They're downright fun. They're going to be in every single game. I don't think they're going to win the division. Like, I don't think they're going to contend for the division, but I think they could make a little noise for a wild card. Like, I thought this was going to be a bottom three team in football. I think their offense is, Arthur Smith is coming up with something. He's not getting Kyle Pitts involved enough. So I can only imagine how good this offense will be once Pitts gets even more involved. When you're looking at teams that I think could be worse or like, ugh, how did we believe in them? People are still believing in the Tennessee Titans. I don't quite get that. I think the Tennessee Titans downright stink. I think in a couple weeks, everybody on the planet will be like, oh, how did they, how is that the number one seed last year? I don't understand it. And then the other team that I think is quickly losing favor, and it's not all entirely their fault, but a lot of it is, that'd be the LA Chargers. I think the shine is quickly coming off the Chargers, which people had in the Super Bowl and deep in the playoffs, and Herbert for MVP. And it's like, a lot of it is because of injuries. I mean, J.C. Jackson has barely touched the field because of that ankle. Joey Bosa just injured his groin. Justin Herbert's dealing with these rib injuries. Rashawn Slater done for the year with a bicep injury. So this defense we thought was going to be way better hasn't been. Granted, their cornerstone cornerback hasn't been on the field. And then their offense has just been, they've been missing Keenan Allen. It's been kind of meh. I think Brandon Staley is almost kind of turning into a pumpkin.
He's like 10 last year, and 10.
Yeah. Last year he was all about going for it on fourth down. And then against the Kansas City effing Chiefs multiple times on fourth and two inside Chiefs territory, you don't go for it. Like, what the hell are you doing? What even is your purpose anymore? And so I think Andy was right. Andy Hart, right again on that. Brandon Staley might be a boob. And so those would be my two teams that I think the luster is, it will quickly come off of.
Having just watched Office Space again this weekend, Brandon Staley is the number one guy in the NFL I want to walk up to and say, what would you say you do here?
Yeah, he stinks. And I personally think he's part of this new age crew. I think some of the injuries are on him. I don't think his players do enough during the summer and the offseason and the preseason to get ready for real football. And then I think their body is just stunned by actual NFL action. So as much as I've been a little bit harsh on Justin Herbert in terms of, like, if you're so great, make the playoffs before we start talking about how good you are, I think he's got a little bit of an albatross around his neck, and that's his head coach, who I don't think will be there very long. A team that I think I'm going down with, the gosh darn Las Vegas Raiders. I think my guy Josh McDaniels, it just feels like they're going to have to hit their stride at some point. Mm-hmm.
Dude, they've lost all games by one possession. Exactly. They're in every game. They're this close to figuring it all out. And if they can make it so Davante Adams is the leading receiver and not effing Mac Hollins, they might actually get somewhere.
I don't think they understand the off. Talk about the Patriots not getting the scheme. I think they're having a little scheme processing issues out there. But I agree with you, Andy. A month from now, I think we'll be singing a totally different song about the Raiders.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are still going to be a really good competitive football team. As I said, I think the Chargers are going to underachieve. The one thing that I'm intrigued by is the Philadelphia Eagles, and they are a team that were a hot pick coming in, and they've been hot to start the year. I am also a big believer, a team that is developing with a young coach, a young quarterback, young receivers. There's a lot of youth on that team. They're at the very least going to go through some low periods here during the season, because I don't think they are ready to be the 14-2 New England Patriots. Like, one of those teams where you're just like, wow, they went wire to wire as the best team in football.
So I think you would normally be right, but when you just look at their schedule, man, it's an effing cupcake. It is, like, without a doubt, the easiest schedule in football. Like, every analytics says that. And when you just look at it, like, these are their next four games. Jaguars, I would say competitive football game.
Good game.
The Cardinals, Cardinals have not been good, but I guess
awful. Losable.
The Cowboys, team. Steelers, and then they get the Texans, Commanders. Like, that's their next six games. Like, maybe they lose one of those, but there's a chance they just run those six off and they start the season 9-0. Like, it's this, I think I agree with you in the fact that I really like the Eagles. I think the Eagles are a really good football team, and they're building towards something great. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're great quite yet, but their schedule is making them look better than they actually are.
And the turmoil in the NFC East, and the fact that the NFC is far from the AFC as well. We'll see. I also think Buffalo, don't read into Sunday's game where should have won that game. 90 plays executed in a swamp and a sauna. They're not the 2007 Patriots or the 72 Dolphins, nor are they the 1999 Rams. That said, they're a damn good team. And my feeling for them being the representative in the AFC has not changed a bit.
The injuries in the back end are concerning for their defense.
Yeah. Rest them up now.
They keep losing cornerbacks. Like, they lost Christian Benford. Safety. Yeah, they lost Griffin Benford. They've lost Micah Hyde. Yeah, once White comes back, that'll help. But until then, you need to kind of make do with what you have. And you get Lamar Jackson this week, by the way. Awesome right. game. Can't believe it's a 1 o'clock start.
Let's just see if the weather has any factor, because we could be getting some hurricane remnants blowing up this way that could affect some of the games on Sunday. We will let you know. Thanks for listening to another action-packed, rock solid, fun-filled episode of Six Rings. I liked it, Andy. I don't know. I mean, you're making typical Andy Hart faces. I thought we did
everything. Nobody knew that. That was off air. Nobody knew.
Well, you know, I just had to let you know because I didn't appreciate that. I'm trying to wrap the show in a nice, positive manner, and I'm getting funky, funky heart. I almost said funky fart. Thanks a lot, Shime.
Anytime.
For dropping the fart bomb earlier. You can follow him at Shime Time. You can follow him at Jumbo Heart. You can follow me at Fitzy GFY. And of course, we are at Six Rings Pod. We'll be back in a couple of days with a preview episode of Packers and Patriots. Until then, that's about all we can offer. We'll try to, like we always say, we are here to celebrate and we are here to commiserate. That is the job of the Six Rings, and we like doing it with you. So thanks for listening. Make sure to tell your friends, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Bye.
Peace out.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.